जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी चन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यमुनधीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपद 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 शील प्रभुपद जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय नृसिंहदेव जय नृसिंहदेव जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande. Readings from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Text 65. So, before getting into the text, let us chant the invocation prayers. And chant, please repeat. Nigamakalpataror galitam phalam sukamukat amrita dravasamyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavakaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutama Shloke Bhakte Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Brajat kapola shubhakam suvilasahasam Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Brajat kapola shubhakam suvilasahasam Nityotsavam natrupur natatrupur dishibipibantyo Nityotsavam natatrupur dishibipibantyo Nadyo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Nadyo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Yasyananam makala kundara chalu karna Bhrajakapola shubhagam suvilasahasam Nityotsavam natatrupur dishibipibantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Prabhus. Yasyananam makala kundala charu karna Brajat kapola shubhagam savilasahasam Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Brajat kapola shubhagam savilasahasam Nityotsavam natatrupur dishibipibantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Matajis. Nobody. Okay. Yasya. Whose? Ananam. Face. Makara kundala charu karna. Decorated by earrings. Resembling sharks. And by beautiful ears. Brajat. brilliantly decorated. Kapola, forehead. Shubhagam, declared all opulences. Savilasahasam, with smiles of enjoyment. Nitya Utsavam, whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Natatrupaha, they could not be satisfied. Drishibihi, by seeing the form of the Lord. Ivantyaha, as if drinking through the eyes. Naryaha, all the women of Vrindavana. Naraha, all the men, all the male devotees. Cha, also. Mudita, fully satisfied. Kupitaha, angry. Nime, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanath Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, please repeat. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Purport. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam sagasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye, itamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieved perfection, hardly one knows in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Among the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavana is specially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words Nityotsavam na tatrupur drishibhi pibantyaha. The inhabitants of Vrindavana, especially such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavana saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds, where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not to place on their breasts because they thought their breasts were not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stone. Even by thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyes disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the Creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of 9th canto, in the 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head, and the entire Srimad Bhagavat Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face, his cheeks, his lips, the ornament of his ears, his chewing of betel nuts, all this is minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed the transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the Creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. Hari Om Tat. Om Ajnanatimira Andasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanasute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyaschak Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaitya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mamshna Krishna Krishna Ayapati Shri Kipagaswami Tamini Namachari Padani Taki Prabhupadani Gaurakata Ramdaya Nagaragram Tarini Mukam Kuroti Vachanapanam Nangaya Tigri Mitrupata Mahamandi Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwanam Katanchana Shri Yasmindushka Sukaram Bhavet Vispite Pritam Syat Shri Chaitanya Mukamamitam Hare Krishna. So this nice description of Krishna's face in this verse and it's also explained that how the devotees were engaged in drinking the beauty of Krishna's face, Pibantyaha. And we find the same word in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, that one has to drink the mellows which explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says, Mukuraho Rasika Bhuibhavukaha. One has to become very expert in the science of understanding Godhead so that one can actually drink this Srimad Bhagavatam through the ear holes. And then this way one can actually become qualified to even understand or to some extent experience what is explained here. Because otherwise, for people like me, it's quite theoretical. So that's why when I saw this verse, I was thinking what kind of class I'm going to give. Krishna, Prabhupada clearly says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit etati siddhaye etatam siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvataha. He quotes this verse that unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Okay, so that's a very significant statement that when we come across these verses, it's a very important statement to meditate upon to see what kind of qualification we have and what kind of direction we are taking in our Krishna conscious life to get this kind of qualification. Of course, one cannot qualify oneself simply by one's own effort. That's what the karmis, jnanis and yogis are trying to do. They're trying to qualify themselves by their own effort. They think that I can do it myself. I don't require anybody else. I can control my body. I can control my mind. And I can enjoy whatever pleasure which I want to enjoy. The karmis are thinking the pleasure of enjoyment is within the material world. The jnanis are thinking the pleasure of enjoyment is in rejecting the material world. And the yogis are thinking that the pleasure of enjoyment is in controlling the material nature. But the pleasure of enjoyment is in neither of the three. The pleasure of enjoyment is actually knowing Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vitaraga Bhayaprodha Anmayamam upashataha bhavo jnana tapasa putamadbhavam agataha. That one actually can experience pleasure by knowing about Krishna. That's why Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, machitta madgata prana bodhayanta prasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. That one has to actually speak about Krishna and hear about Krishna. A qualified person should speak and others should hear about Krishna. And that's the process. So we all are fortunate that we are able to hear from Srila Prabhupada's purport and then share whatever little realization we have. So this is, when we read Prabhupada's purports, this is also Shravanam, that we are actually hearing from Prabhupada. That sometimes when you continuously hear Prabhupada's lectures, and also when you read the purports, you can actually literally hear Prabhupada's voice in those purports, that okay, Prabhupada is speaking these purports. Yeah. So that's the process, that to get qualified, that we actually hear. And also there are other things which actually helps us to actually appreciate what is given in this verse, especially the process of deity worship, which is there, where Krishna appears directly in the form of deity to actually show us what it means to be in this atmosphere of Nityotsava. It said that Nityotsava, seeing Krishna is festival. So there is a whole process of deity worship which gives us a fair idea of what Nityotsava means, that every day to decorate Krishna, and in every season to have different types of festivals. Like now it is summer season, we just had Chandanyatra, we had boat festival. Now we can see that Krishna is in very nice flower pond, and there's a fountain there, and Krishna is in the midst of that whole arrangement, and every day we can see him in that arrangement. And also during the Chandanyatra there were different veshas for the deity. So this is all engagement, and by seeing, by participating, or by actually experiencing, then we get some glimpse of the spiritual world. That what is Krishna's world and how it is constructed and what's going on there. Because we simply have idea of this material world and we are attracted to the forms of the material world, or we are rejecting the forms of the material world. Both are same. It's nothing big difference between getting attracted to the forms of the material world or rejecting the forms of the material world. One may seem slightly better than the other, but in the end game both are same, because it's still the reference point is still the material world, that we are referencing ourselves to the material world. That's where the jnanis fail, that they simply reference themselves to the material world and they simply start thinking that whatever is not material world should be spiritual world. And in the process they simply negate, they don't have a positive understanding of spiritual world. They don't have the positive understanding of the form. They don't have the positive understanding of the pastimes. They don't have positive understanding of qualities. And they don't have positive understanding of the associates and confidants of the Lord. So therefore, they simply bring everything to the mundane platform because their reference point is still mundane. So they think that whatever has a form has to be mundane. So in that sense, they are not very different from karmis, even though they look different from karmis. Because karmis, they think that form is everything, this material world is everything. Like the Mimamsavadis say that this 14 planetary systems is everything, simply keep on doing the right thing and keep on enjoying this material world. There's nothing more than this. Nanyat asti iti vadinaha. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing more than this. Nanyat asti. Na anyat asti. There's nothing more than this. That is only this material world. And one has to know the technique of enjoying this material world. That's it. So the karmis limit themselves to this material world. The jnanis try to raise beyond the mundane by trying to actually differentiate the spiritual from the mundane. They try to differentiate matter from spirit. As Sankhyavadis, they actually study matter. And then they say, okay, matter is made of 24 elements, this is all this there, and 24 elements with the combination of the spirit has become this material world. So they speak big philosophy, but still they cannot rise above the mundane, because when it comes to appreciating the form of the Lord, they miserably fail, because either they are attached, raga, or they are afraid, bhaya, or they are angry, krodha. They are either attached to this material world, or they are afraid of this material world, or they become angry about this material world. Oh, this is such a miserable place. Whatever I touch here gives me misery. I don't like this place. So let me just make this place zero. Nothing. I want to become nothing. So they become very angry. Or they become afraid that, oh, this form is so, the moment they see form, oh, this is Maya. I should not get attracted to this. Okay. I should not get attracted to this. So then they start saying neti. So there are different ways they actually try to reject this material world. But still, they cannot appreciate what is beyond the material world. At the best, they end up with Brahman. And then they start saying, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, and I want to become formless, I want to become varietyless, I want to become characterless, or whatever it is. They just want to become next to nothing. The Shunyavadis want to become nothing. The Brahmavadis want to become next to nothing. So this way, they are actually struggling. But there are a class of people who are experts, rasika, muhuraho rasika, they are experts. They know how to navigate in this whole process. They know how to appreciate the form of the Lord. And they are expert devotees. They have that appreciation of the form of the Lord. And when they come, they bring this appreciation to this material world. That's why Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. That you go and find that person who is tattva darshi. So what is the tattva Krishna is talking about? Is he talking about aham brahmasmi? Or he is talking about shunyavada? He is talking about what vada? He is talking about what is the tattva Krishna is talking about? Krishna explains that in the fourth chapter, the same chapter in the beginning of the fourth chapter, he explains janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha. So you see the same word tattva is coming in this verse. So there he is told as tattva darshi, and here he is told tattvataha. So the same word is getting repeated in these two verses. So we understand who is the tattva darshi. The person who actually understands the nature of the appearance and pastimes of the Lord, that person is called Tattvadarshi. So that person has to be approached. Not simply some fellow who says that I am Brahman, or I am nothing, or whatever, you know. Not those kind of people. The person who actually understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and pastimes of the Lord, he has to be approached. He is called Tattvadarshi. And when he is approached, and when he is very carefully heard, satam prasangan amavirya samvido bhavanti hritkanna rasayana katha tajjoshanat asau apavadvatmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. So when he is heard, and in his association, when we try to understand this subject matter, then very quickly, asau apavadvatmani, very quickly one can actually give up this conception of either mundane attachment to the mundane form, or attachment to the spiritual nothingness. One can very quickly give up these two things, and one can actually properly be situated in trying to appreciate the form of the Lord. Of course, it's a long process to appreciate the form of the Lord. That's why Krishna is saying manushyanam sahasreshu, and he is saying yatamapi siddhanam, even those perfected beings who actually understood that I am not this body, I am a spirit soul. Even amongst them, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. It's very difficult to understand Krishna. Especially to understand Krishna, it's very difficult. It's to some extent easy to understand Vishnu, because Vishnu is great, and Narayana is great. So the greatness actually is fully manifested. So to some extent it is easy to relate to Narayana as God, because he is great. And he opulently exhibits his greatness, and he doesn't leave any doubt that he is great. So in that sense, is one, in one way it is easy to appreciate Narayana as God, but to accept Krishna as God, to Krishna, accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult, because Krishna simply displays sweetness. But that sweetness, that display of sweetness is his greatness. That it should be understood. That's why there is 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we systematically understand the greatness of Krishna. And then we are ready to appreciate the sweetness. One can say that why not directly the sweetness? Why should one understand the greatness? Because, like for example, if you are in airport, okay, and you are stuck with your luggage, okay, and I come, and then I see, okay, you are escorting what you are, somebody, and I help you with your luggage, okay. You say, thank you Prabhu, Hare Krishna, very nice, okay. And you think, okay, this is a nice devotee, good, okay. But that is nothing more than that. But you imagine, you are stuck with your luggage in the airport, and your spiritual master comes, and he is helping you with the luggage. He is carrying your luggage, he is helping you with the luggage, okay. And then he's doing everything for you. It makes a big impact. Because you know he is great. Because you know he is great. And then when he exhibits his sweetness, it makes a huge impact. That's how Prabhupada actually attracted his disciples. Because they all knew that he is great. They all knew that he is one person whom they cannot give anything. They knew he is so great that he doesn't need anything from them. But still he was so sweet. So they got so much attracted to his sweetness. So in order to get attracted to the sweetness of Krishna, one has to actually understand the greatness of Krishna, especially in the material world. Of course, in the spiritual world, it's okay. Everyone is naturally attracted to the sweetness of Krishna, so there is no need for them to attract to know the greatness of Krishna. Even if they know it, it's not such a significant thing for them, because they just brush it aside. The gopis are saying, Nakalu Gopika Nandano Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik. Okay, they know that you are Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik. You are the Paramatma, you are everywhere. They know this fact. Okay? But they are not interested in that fact. It's not that they don't know, they know, but they are not interested in it. Doesn't make a big impact on them. What actually impacts them is the sweetness of Krishna. And what actually impacts them is his love. So they simply want to please him. So that's why they are great. That's why to understand that love is so difficult. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more great, because he packages that love in a way which we can access it. That's why the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more sweeter. Because it's a combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So he is more sweeter. He is sweetness personified. He is mercy personified. Rupa Goswami is saying, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvijay Namaha. So that which is not so easily accessible, that which is so difficult to understand, that which is very rarely attained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it very accessible to us. He brings it to us, and then he packages in such a way that it can be easily accessed by chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The process of chanting the holy name, he imbues the process of chanting the holy name with love of Godhead. And then he gives it to us so freely, that we actually now have hope, okay, now we can chant the holy name, somehow or other we can actually make our life perfect. So, in this way, the sweetness of the Lord is continuously manifest. As his different incarnations, when he appears as different incarnations to save devotees, to actually interact with them, like Dhruva is interacting with Prishnigarbha, or Prahlad is interacting with Narsingadev. Even though the situation looks very gory, that you know there's a whole battlefield and his father has been killed and Narsingadev is with the garland of intestine and the blood is flowing and all these things, even though it's such a ghastly scene, but still the sweetness of reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee is so clearly seen there when Prahlad is going forward as a 5-year-old boy Everybody is afraid of Narsingadev. Nobody wants to go in front of him. Lakshmi Devi is also saying, "Don't, I have not seen this form of my husband. I cannot handle it. So I am just going. I am not the one who is to go and pacify him." And then this 5-year-old boy, he simply goes in the front, and then fearlessly he offers prayers. So very fact that he is able to go there, he is able to relate, and he is able to offer prayers, actually shows the sweetness of the relationship between Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So systematically, while actually understanding the greatness, like Dhruva, he is standing there, he wants to offer prayer, but he cannot offer prayer because he feels so unqualified. He is stunned by the very fact that the Lord is actually standing in front of him. He is simply stunned. That what is my qualification? Simply in 6 months, the Lord is in front of me, he is stunned. And the Lord is touching him with the conch shell. And then he offers profuse prayers of love. So there is in every situation, like even with Gajendra, that is such a difficult situation that Gajendra is in. He is almost fighting a battle of life and death for so many years he has been fighting. But still, when he sees the Lord, then he immediately, he actually picks up one lotus. It's very nicely explained that Narayano Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Very nicely he offered prayer. The moment he saw the Lord, then he picked up that lotus with his trunk and then he offered the prayer. He offered that lotus and then he was saying Narayana Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. So everywhere in all this display of greatness is also mixed, this sweetness is mixed, where we can actually see the sweet relationship between the Lord and the devotee. So the 9 cantos systematically prepare us to understand the sweetness of the Lord by actually mixing it with the greatness of the Lord. And in the 10th canto, we are simply exposed to the greatness of the Lord. To the sweetness of the Lord, where the greatness takes a back seat and the sweetness comes out in full flow. So that is the process of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also compared to the bodily fito, to the body of the Lord. And in order to actually understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to have these 2 qualifications, which is given in the second, in the first canto, second shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra kritibi shushushubi tatshanat. That one has to have this qualification, these 2 qualifications, that one should be kritibi and one should be shushushu. Shushushu means that one should be eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one single quality which actually endears one to Srimad Bhagavatam. That one should have the eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that hearing Bhagavatam is something which is like a ritualistic thing for us. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. Dong, dong, dong. Oh, that's it. Okay. Sometimes smartas, they chant mantras like this. You go to somewhere, you see some smartas chanting mantras, they very ritualistically chant. Oh, okay. You don't even know what he is chanting. So like that, okay. So it's not like coming to Bhagavatam class is not like that. Okay? That the very foundation of the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam is the eagerness to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. That one should be very eager to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. One should have that great, one should look forward. Okay, let's hear Bhagavatam. Let's discuss Bhagavatam. And it's not limited to that 1 hour. Whenever there is chance, we should be able to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. We should be able to relate to Srimad Bhagavatam. We should be able to connect to Srimad Bhagavatam. In all different aspects of our life, in all different circumstances, one should simply be able to connect. And that's very important. So, by actually being in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam, by being touched by Srimad Bhagavatam, like Sanatana Goswami is saying, Madeka Bando, Matsangin, Madro, Mahadana, Mannistaraka, Madbhagya, Madananda Namostute. So he is actually praying to Bhagavatam very nicely that you are my only relative, Madeka Bando, you are always with me, Matsangin, Madguru, you are my spiritual master. So this way he completely relates to Srimad Bhagavatam. So by completely relating to Srimad Bhagavatam, one can actually hope to actually understand these topics of description of the sweetness of the Lord, description of the face of the Lord. So one should firmly take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the first 2 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. that one should very firmly take shelter. So that's where it starts, like Kapiladeva explains, how to take darshan of the deity, and where we should start, and how to take darshan of the deity. The process of entering Srimad Bhagavatam, or the process of appreciating the deity, simply starts with concentrating on the lotus feet for such a long time. There should be long concentration on the lotus feet of the Lord. Same way, there should be repeated study of the lotus feet of the Lord, which is also Srimad Bhagavatam, first two cantos. These cantos. And Prabhupada very specifically explains that till what time we should study these two cantos. He specifically explains that we should study these two cantos till we give up sex desire. So that is then the qualification to further proceed with Srimad Bhagavatam, or the qualification to enter Bhagavatam further, simply comes at that point that we are no longer interested in sex desire. So till we are interested in sex desire, till there is this attraction to this material world is there. Sex means it could be gross, it could be subtle, like Prabhupada explains that attraction to profit, adoration and distinction is also sex life. It's not that sex life is simply limited to a man getting attracted to woman or woman getting attracted to man. Sex life means is much more than that, even though that is the basis. The basis of sex life is the attraction between man and woman. But it expands, like Rishabhade explains, that Atha Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vittair. So attraction to any of these things, Griha, Kshetra, Sutapta Vittair, is all sex life. Just not the mundane activity of sex, or the activity of sex alone is not sex life. So one has to become free of this attraction to sex life. Or one has to become free of this idea that I can enjoy a little bit in this material world. There's still some juice left here. I can somehow squeeze it out and I can have some little bit of enjoyment by adjusting to the nature of this material world. I can squeeze out some little enjoyment and I can enjoy it. As long as this idea is there, one should continuously read the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, because it has the effect to disillusion the devotee, a sincere devotee. Especially Prabhupada's purports on first canto and second canto, they're quite strong and they're quite deep. So they have the effect of disillusioning the devotee about whatever hopes they may have about this material world. It clearly explains to us this material world is a hopeless place, so that we can focus on spiritual world. And we can use this place properly to focus on spiritual world. That is the only use of this place. That's the only use of these relationships. That's the only use of whatever we have in this material world. And that's the proper use of it. That's the proper use of creation. The proper use of creation is to simply understand that I don't belong here, I belong to the spiritual world, and I should simply go there. That's the proper use of creation. Of course, in the process, the creation also gives us the glimpse of Krishna's beauty. When we actually see the beauty of this creation, when we actually see how this whole creation is there, different places, different features, birds, trees, flowers, mountains, forests, waterfalls, rivers, and sometimes big buildings, art, all these things, when we see, like Krishna says in 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, yatya vibhutimatsattvam srimat urjitam yevava tattat yevava gacchattvam mamatejo amsa sambhavam. So that also the material world helps, that it actually gives a glimpse of Krishna's beauty. And we can see that what is actually away from Krishna is so beautiful. Of course it is beautiful. It's not that it is not beautiful. It simply is not permanent. What is the creation which is away from Krishna, the creation which is not permanent, the creation which is supposed to be a kind of a prison for the conditioned soul, if it can be so beautiful, then how beautiful will Krishna's place be? So in that sense, the creation also helps us to relate to Krishna. to relate to Krishna's beauty, to relate to what actually is the spiritual world. So in this way, if we can actually approach the whole topic of Krishna consciousness and see how to relate our experience always to Krishna, then life will be a festival, Nityotsava. Every day will be a festival. Every day will be a festival. Be no dearth of adventure in Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll stop here. See then questions, comments.
Hare Krishna. You spoke about in the last, just the last thing that you spoke about, how by appreciating the beauty of the material world, also one can, something is so distant from Krishna and can be beautiful, how beautiful Krishna may be. But I've noticed sometimes that if we start thinking like that, then that may be also a trap by Maya, because we'll start in the name of appreciating Krishna's beauty, we may actually end up appreciating all things material.
Yeah.
So, how do you know what is the right form of appreciation?
So, there are two ways of appreciation. One way of appreciation is that that I appreciate it because I want to enjoy it. Okay, that's one way of appreciation. Okay. So, that way of appreciation traps, because that's enjoying mentality. This beauty is for me. Okay, so like when I was a small boy, there was a film song, okay, which goes like this, that this world is born for me, the rivers are flowing for me, the flowers are blooming for me, and the whole nature is meant for me, like this. Okay, so this is also appreciation, but everything is there. You know, it's so much self-centered that everything is for me. I am the Lord of all I survey. So if the appreciation is in that mood, that everything is for my enjoyment, that these flowers are for my enjoyment, or this people go and appreciate nature, okay, but they think that this is for them, this is for me. That ingrained mentality of enjoying this material world is there, okay. But if it can be connected to Krishna, and then it can be appreciated, then that's a different type of appreciation. Like Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Ritetam pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidhya tatmano maya etabhasho etatamaha. So he clearly distinguishes what is maya and what is Krishna. The moment we start seeing things without connecting to Krishna, then that becomes maya. The moment we clearly see it as Krishna's, belonging to Krishna, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, that this is Krishna's, this is Krishna's material world, this is Krishna's energy, then we can appreciate, like simple things like, you know, water is Krishna's energy, asoham apsu kaunteya, Krishna is saying. But if we appreciate it as Krishna's energy, then we'll use it properly, we'll not waste it. The moment we start thinking that this belongs to me, I am the owner of water, this water is meant for my pleasure, then immediately we start wasting it. And then there's whole crisis of water, and I heard that in one part in India, now, I just saw 2 days before in a news item, that people are locking containers of water because there is so much of water shortage that people are stealing water from each other. So they are putting water in containers and then they are locking the containers. So this is the difference, that how we appreciate things, how we appreciate this material world. That when we start appreciating the material world as for my enjoyment, then at some place there is excess and at some place there is so much of shortage. And that's exactly what is happening, and Prabhupada explains this concept in the Ishavasyam purport of Ishopanishad. Prabhupada says very clearly that neither the capitalist nor the communist will be able to solve the problem of daily bread, because both of them are flawed. The capitalists are flawed, the communists are flawed. And both of them are simply appreciating this world as themselves, as belonging to themselves. But a devotee actually appreciates the world as belonging to Krishna. So he gives due credit there. So, but of course, it requires a certain level of maturity to do that. It's not so easy because it's a trap and one can easily fall into the trap. That's why it's very important to get disillusioned from the material world before one can properly appreciate this material world as belonging to Krishna. So the process of disillusionment is quite important. Even though we don't get disillusioned like jnanis, that we reject this material world, we simply get disillusioned from the material world by understanding that any meaningful thing in this material world should be only utilized in Krishna's service. So our technique of appreciating what is there in the material world is Yukta Vairagya. Anashaktascha Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjataha Nirbando Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyamchate. So our appreciation is limited to Yukta Vairagya. That whatever I can utilize in service of Krishna, I can actually appreciate. So this way we can remain safe within the parameters and hopefully not get caught in Maya. Of course, one should be constantly afraid of Maya. That's a different thing. But
thank you.
Any other question?
Years ago, one of the senior Bengali brahmacharis told Jivanath, why don't you just go back home where you came from? And even though he said later, sorry, we hear that us called as like the Western devotees or foreigners or sometimes malechas. And although the Bhagavad Gita and in Krishna consciousness begins with how we're not the body, our all spirit, soul, to actually rise above the mundane in daily affairs and in actual real life scenarios. How is that, how does it come into play beyond just sort of a philosophical concept that we're all spirit, we're all the same?
I will not comment on the specific incident because I was not there and I cannot comment on it. But I will just comment on a principle rather than on a specific incident. So whatever I say doesn't relate to the specific incident, but it's more related to the principle. So the principle is that it's difficult to understand that we are not this body, because we are so much attached to this body for millions and millions of lifetimes. And for time immemorial we have been attached to this body. So the very concept that I am not this body is like an earth-shaking thing. It's a head-shattering concept that I am not this body. And even more difficult is to understand that I am not this mind. Even though the idea that body and mind are simply body, one is gross body and the other subtle body, but still the idea that I am not this mind is even more difficult to understand. Because to some extent, to understand that I am not this gross body, physically you can see the body is changing, it's not cooperating, it's doing so much of trouble, it's doing so much of trouble. So one can to some extent get disillusioned with the gross body. But to actually disengage oneself from the mind, that's a trick, that one has to actually properly disengage himself from the mind. And it's very difficult because the mind is like a constant machine, you know, it's like, you know, always sitting somewhere, you know, on the head, and then it's constantly throwing one thought of the other, or one desire, or one hatred, or whatever, you know, Icha, Dvesha, Samutyena, Dvanda, Mohena, Bharata, Sarva Bhutani, Sammoham, Sarge, Antiparantapa. So Krishna is very nicely explaining that Icha and Dvesha, that simply throwing two things, that you like this, you don't like this, you like this, you don't like this, you like this, you don't like this. The mind is constantly throwing these things to us, okay, every time it's throwing these things to us, okay. It doesn't stop, it's just non-stop throwing of these things. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that apuryamana machala pratishtam samudra mapa pravishanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shashanti mapnoti na kamakam. So very beautiful shloka. Actually this is the first shloka probably I memorized in Bhagavad Gita, because that shloka stuck me so much. It's like a slap on my face, like this, you know. So Krishna explains so nicely that what it is to deal with the mind. And what is mind? It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop throwing what you like and what you don't like. It's not going to stop. It's going to constantly throw that you like this, you don't like this. And the mind actually wants us to take ownership of this. That, like for example, I say gulab jamun, the mind is telling you, you like this. And mind is telling you, take ownership of this. Take ownership of this thought. This is your desire to eat gulab jamun. You like this. So if I take ownership of the thought, the moment I take ownership of the thought, then there's a whole chain of thought which actually comes along with that. Oh, this gulab jamun, I like it, I have to eat it, I cannot eat it because I don't have money. Now what to do? So I find some person with the money and go and ask him for money. If he doesn't give money, he becomes my enemy. He gives money, he becomes my friend. And then I go, I ask for gulab jamun, it's already over. So what a misfortune that when I have money, I don't have gulab jamun. When they have gulab jamun, I don't have money. Then I start saying, what is the system? Why can't they have more gulab jamun? A whole set of samskaras starts simply because of liking one gulab jamun. Because I took ownership of the thought that I like gulab jamun. I made enemies, I made friends, I became a rebel in the system, I started finding fault in the system. I did a whole set of things simply by taking ownership of one thought. And every day mind is throwing millions of thoughts. And we are like an innocent, we are innocently taking ownership of all those thoughts of mind. Thinking that this is my thought, this is my thought, this is my thought, this is my desire, this is my desire, this is my desire. And then running behind each of them. Either to fulfill or to avoid. Prahlad Maharaj very nicely says that this whole material life is simply two activities. What is that? Increase sense gratification, decrease suffering. Nothing more. Is limited only to two activities. We think that we are doing so many millions of things. We are sending rocket to Mars and we are trying to find out what is beyond the solar system, and we are trying to find, sending a rocket to sun and doing so many things. We think we are doing millions of activities. Simply two activities. Increase sense gratification, decrease misery. That's it. And in the process we are getting bound more and more, more and more, more and more, because the moment we want to increase sense gratification, we have to go through misery. And the moment we want to decrease misery, then it will come to a different way and it will increase the misery. Dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkam. So that's why Prahlad is saying, Bhuman Brahmami, I am completely confused. So what can I do? He's saying, Vadame Tavadasya Yogam. Simply instruct me on the science of Godhead. That's the only remedy. So the only remedy is to actually break free from this mind by engaging this mind in understanding the science of Godhead. And in fifth canto, there is an elaborate description of mind in the pastime of Jadabharata and King Raghugana. Because Bharat Maharaj is also a victim of mind. His mind made nice fool of him. Okay? Same thing. I gave him one thought and made him take him ownership of the thought. You are a king, you should save this deer. Simple, one thought. And it brought him all the way from Bhava, and then it gave him body of a deer. One thought. So he was a victim of mind. So he analyzes mind very nicely when he actually instructs King Raghugana. So in that whole analysis, there's a whole chapter which actually deals with the mind. But in the chapter, there's one purport which is very important, where Prabhupada actually writes how to control mind. Prabhupada gives a three-step formula to control mind. So first thing Prabhupada says is that one should disobey the orders of the mind. This first thing. One should disobey the orders of the mind. The second thing Prabhupada says that one should beat the mind with the broom in the morning 100 times. And then the chapel in the night 100 times. Okay. Maybe it is interchange, I don't know. Broom and chapel is correct, morning, evening. Whatever it is, either you can, you have to see exactly what he says. When is the broom, when is the chapel, okay. So that's a detail, okay. But there is broom, there is chapel, okay. So then there's a third thing, which is the most important instruction, which Prabhupada gives. Okay. And then he says, this is the easiest way to control the mind. And what is the most important instruction? What is the third thing Prabhupada gives? Prabhupada says, one should strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. One should strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. This is the easiest way to control the mind. Because one has already accepted spiritual master's authority, one has already accepted spiritual master is great, one has already accepted that, oh, I should listen to him. So it's very easy. Mind is already conditioned to listen to the spiritual master. So one should simply add one word to it. What is that? Strict. One should strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master. So what is the order of the spiritual master? The order of the spiritual master is strictly follow four regulative principles, chant minimum 16 rounds, and then help in preaching. And chant minimum 16 rounds, try to avoid offenses. So if we follow this simple formula, strictly following four regulative principles, chanting minimum 16 rounds, trying to avoid offenses, and helping our spiritual master in spreading this movement, 99% of our problems will be solved. What is that 1% which is left? That 1% which is left can be solved also by following the same thing. So it means 100% of our problem will be solved by following the order of the spiritual master. Nothing more. All the problems are details. Someone becomes angry with someone, someone else becomes happy with someone. These are all details and it keeps happening. It keeps happening. They're all details. But the real principle is to actually disengage oneself from the mind. As long as one identifies himself with the mind, one will not be able to understand the beauty of Krishna, which is explained in this verse. Because Krishna's beauty is not in mental platform. It cannot be understood by the imagination of the mind. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is how to actually disengage from the material aspect of the mind and engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. You cannot just leave the mind unhinged like the jnanis think that I can leave this mind unhinged. I should simply disengage from the mind and I can leave it unhinged. It's impossible. You cannot leave it unhinged. You cannot make your desire zero. You cannot not desire. Not desiring is itself a desire. So the moment you start thinking, I should not have any desire, that's a desire. So how will you not have a desire of not having desire? It's very confusing. So there's no possibility of not having desire. So one should simply have the desire to serve and please the spiritual master. And that's a proper desire. That's why every day we are singing Guru Ashtakam, we are singing a Guru Arati, so that we can systematically train our mind that this is what you should desire. We should give a legitimate channel for the mind to desire. That this is legitimate desire. You desire, you have unlimited desires in this. You have unlimited desires in consciousness. Then you can run behind those desires, no problem. It's okay. Even if it's fulfilled, not fulfilled, it's fine. Everything is fine. It's okay. Okay, I think we should stop. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.